For brands in the digital age, content is the customer experience. That's why industry leaders like KFC, MailChimp, and BMW rely on the Contentful Composable Content Platform to easily create, collaborate, manage, and deliver content across all channels, resulting in meaningful customer experiences and significant business results. Ready to maximize your content's potential? Get started at Contentful.com. Contentful, where content drives business momentum.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Wednesday, March 6th. I'm Cordelia James for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Alex Osola. Coming up on today's show, two-factor authentication is necessary when it comes to securing your digital life. But it can be a hassle. We'll find out how to make it easy from WSJ personal tech columnist Nicole Nguyen. And then, the hottest place to discover new music might be in a video game. Musicians are taking to the virtual stage to get their songs in front of younger audiences. WSJ tech reporter Sarah Needleman tells us why the unlikely venue could be a powerful promotional tool and what that means for the music industry. But first, recent cyber attacks on the Securities and Exchange Commission's official X account and thousands of 23andMe accounts might have been prevented with one simple code. Two-factor authentication gives accounts an extra layer of privacy, but it can be a little inconvenient, especially when you don't have access to the device the code gets sent to. That shouldn't be an excuse not to use them, though. WSJ personal tech columnist Nicole Nguyen is here now to tell us how to simplify the process. Nicole, what are the key ingredients we need to protect our personal data?
Okay, first, a long, unique password for each of your accounts. And second, two-factor authentication. And I cannot stress this second step enough. And both of those ingredients equal a much, much safer online digital life.
What is two-factor authentication and why is it important?
Two-factor authentication or two-step authentication or multi-factor authentication is just another way to secure your online account in addition to your password. So it's like how your door has a lock and also a deadbolt. Two-factor authentication is like a deadbolt. It helps you prove that you are who you are by using typically a code that's generated on one of your personal mobile devices, or it can be a physical security key, or it can be a code that's texted to you or emailed to you. It's basically just another way to verify that you are actually the account owner.
Why are some 2FA codes more effective or safer than others?
2FA comes in many forms, and not all forms are equally secure. So the most common form is probably a code that's texted to you or emailed to you, and a lot of US banks still insist on this format. And it's better than nothing, but it's not as safe because both email and your cell carrier account are both prone to attacks. SIM swapping is a targeted form of attack where a hacker can take over your cell carrier account. And also email accounts are often targeted because they hold so much information and can be used to reset the passwords on many online accounts, so they're very vulnerable to attack. And so the Goldilocks solution is to download an authenticator app, which typically lives on your phone and generates codes for you.
What should people consider when choosing an authenticator app?
First and foremost, you really need to have an app that allows you to have a backup plan. 2FA can either save your account from getting hacked, or it can be the biggest headache of your life if you, for example, get a new phone and you forget to transfer your authenticator app codes to your new phone, you can be locked out of some really, really important accounts. So choosing an authenticator app with a backup plan is very important. And there are two that I would recommend. One is called Authy. Authy is made by a company called Twilio, and it allows you to download the app on multiple devices. Google Authenticator is another great option that's also free, and it's for both iOS and Android, and you can sync those codes with your Google account. So as long as your Google account is safe and also protected by 2FA and not hacked, then your Google Authenticator codes will be backed up as long as you can get into your Google account.
That was The Journal's personal tech columnist, Nicole Nguyen. Coming up, musicians are turning to video games to get their songs in front of young listeners. Question is it working? That's after the break.
DNB Tech Minute gives you the day's top tech headlines, featuring newsmakers that shape the tech world and beyond, like OpenAI CEO Sam Altman.
The two things that I think will matter most over the next decade are abundant and inexpensive intelligence and abundant and cheap energy. And if we can get these two things, then it's almost difficult to imagine how much else we could do.
Check out DNB Tech Minute in the Tech News Briefing feed from The Wall Street Journal.
Music has been a part of video games for a long time. But now, a growing number of artists from Lady Gaga to Metallica are making them a priority. In some cases, they're releasing new music in video games before anywhere else and reaching millions of players. WSJ tech reporter Sarah Needleman joins us now with more on what's behind this shift. Sarah, why is debuting a song in a video game better for some artists than using social media apps like TikTok?
First of all, on TikTok, we're seeing a huge exodus of music because of this problem that TikTok has with Universal. They weren't able to reach an agreement, so a lot of the music from the biggest artists are coming off that platform. But the other thing to consider with social media is that, at least with a short-term video, is that you're usually getting only a snippet of a song. Whereas in a video game, you're going to probably hear the entire song. In fact, you might even hear an entire album, because a common part of video games these days is to have listening parties or to have concerts. And that's just in addition to also just sometimes music streaming in the background while you're in the middle of a quest or a competition.
And how is this more advantageous than more popular streaming services like Spotify?
This is a little bit different. So here in video games, you might not be necessarily looking for music, but it's going to come into your ears and you're going to hear it.
Why are artists on board with this?
One of the reasons video games are particularly attractive to musical artists is that a lot of young people play them. In the United States, about 3/4 of people under the age of 18 play video games. And there's long been this assumption among music industry executives that people develop their taste for music during their teenage years, and it just sticks from then on. Whether or not that's true, that is what's believed. That's a common perception. And so if music executives have long operated under the assumption that most people's musical tastes are solidified during their teenage years, it makes sense that they're targeting games as a way to get exposure to music.
Just how big is this video game music streaming space? How many people are tuning into this?
3.3 billion people play video games worldwide. Not all of them are featuring the kind of music we're talking about, but some of the biggest games out there, Fortnite, Roblox, which is a platform, but it's massive, NBA 2K, these are really big games and they're massively multiplayer games. So sometimes when these events happen, there could be millions of people simultaneously at once in a game. So video games can support a lot more people for attending events and, in this case, you know, music concerts, and that makes them really powerful.
What kinds of songs are being streamed in the video game space?
We are seeing for the first time a growing number of artists debut their music exclusively inside a video game. So if you want to hear it first, you got to go there. The other trend we're seeing is some are also playing older songs and they're just attracting young fans who just maybe never heard these songs before. And then you have artists that are selling virtual goods. So it'd be like an avatar that looks just like them. You could be Lady Gaga in Fortnite, or you could buy the music in the form of an emote and your character maybe will dance and play some of the song that you purchased. So there's just this great variety of ways that musicians are tapping into video games and giving experiences that we didn't previously see.
How is it that this can happen now? Can you tell me a little bit more about the tech involved in the back end?
This isn't a change that's happened overnight, but less than a decade ago, most people were buying video games on a disc. In order to put music in a game, the artist had to prepare months ahead and decide which music would be licensed and which would be part of it, and that was it. Today, most people have digital copies or they have the ability to update games over the internet. New songs can be added at any time, so there's no pressure to get them in pre-launch. And the same applies to the characters. A developer can add a musician's likeness to a game well after it's come out, just through internet updates. And similarly, in recent years, the technology has advanced so that games can support millions of players at once. There just wasn't the ability to do that up until a few years ago because it's just the internet speeds weren't there. The technology just couldn't handle the rendering of data for so many people at one time.
So who needs this more right now, the gaming companies or the artists?
You could argue the artists need it right now in the sense that it's really competitive to stand out. There's so much content online, just so many people uploading clips of music. The streaming platforms are seeing the subscription rate starting to slow down. So musicians or the music industry executives are looking to other avenues to reach listeners. They've said that social media is a big one. Exercise platforms like Peloton and video games are another. The video game industry is also benefiting because game sales have slowed a bit in the past year. Last year, sales were flat, and the year before, they actually dipped for the first time in about a decade. While the video game industry is still pretty robust, it's not the heady days of the pandemic when spending on video games just soared. This relationship benefits both game companies and music companies.
That was our tech reporter, Sarah Needleman. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. I'm Cordelia James for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Alex Osola. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.